the words of that song, ones that I was thinking about there, it says, if you tarry till you're better, you will never come at all. And so many times I've got up in the morning and didn't want to go to church, like this morning. I didn't want to come. I was feeling bad. But it's amazing how good you'll start feeling after you go to church.
Right.
You feel rested. You feel well. You feel much more energized. You just feel at peace with the Lord. You're right with the Lord. But I love those words there. It's applied just a little bit differently there, but I like them. If you tarry till you're better, you will never come at all. Very precious words. That's correct. I am thankful that I was asked to come and give the devotion this morning. And I'm sure that it will be at least that length of time. If I can keep all my notes from falling out of my Bible here. But I appreciate your trust for allowing me to come and be here, brother. I really am. The message this morning, the devotional message, is basically going to be about one word. The word consider. The word considered. We'll first look at the definition of it in a moment. First, let's turn over to Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 29. Now, I'm just going to read that one verse for right now. It says, oh, they were wise that they understood this, that they would consider their latter end. Now, we are talking about the word consider. If that reads a little bit differently, and I'm not sure right now, but I thought I'd checked it all out. Some of these I had originally looked up in the New King James Version. Is it Deuteronomy 32:29? Oh, did I? Oh, that they were wise. That they understand this, that they would consider their latter end. Okay. And it is the wise person that consider and meditates upon the whole of his life. Now, the word consider, to me, it means that we think about these things, that we weigh these things, and as to the importance of them, we contemplate upon it. Last Tuesday night, we asked Brother Jordan about how he studied God, how does he go about studying God's Word. And he says he reads it through, and then he takes portions of it and he meditates upon it. And I think all of God's elect, all of the children of God, when they read God's Word, when they go to the church service, when they go to Bible studies, they hear portions of it that strikes their ear and they begin to listen to that Word. They more than just hear it, they listen to it. And they take it in and then they lay back and meditate upon it. It's like a cow, if you're a farmer, that stands out under the tree in the heat of the day out there, and you'll see her jaw just a moving. What is she doing? She's chewing her cud. And that's what we do with God's Word. We take it in and we meditate upon it. And to me, that's what consider means. We meditate upon it. It's carefully thought out. It's something that's carefully thought out. The Bible has a few things recorded that are to be considered. Yea, in fact, I'll change that word few to many. Many things are to be considered from God's Word. And those are the things that we should meditate upon. From Genesis 1 and 1 all the way to Revelation 22 and verse 21 or 22, whatever it is. And everything that's in between, we should meditate upon those. And it should be part of our life. Now, we don't have enough time to consider every whim, every doctrine, every thought that we might see in here today, but that's the reason we come back every Sunday. We couldn't take all of God's Word in one service. We have to listen to it a portion at a time, then we go home and we consider it. And we meditate on it and make it part of our life. Now, I have a pretty short memory, so I have to. That's one of the reasons that I'm recording part of these messages, is so that I can go home and listen to them again. Now, some people have good memories. And I know a lady that comes to our meetings. She has a good memory of what you say about some things, even though she makes me a little nervous sometimes. But she has a terrific memory, and she can consider these things through the week, because I know she'll call me up and she said, "What did you mean when you said such and such? Or what did that scripture say again? Let's talk about that particular scripture that we studied." And so she's considering these things through the week. She's contemplating on them. She's testing them to see how they fit into her life. And that's what we should do. And first of all, we should more than consider them more than just to see how they fit into our life, but we should fit into their life, into the life that the Lord has for us. And we need to be obedient to how He instructs us. When the Lord says, "Turn to the left," what should we do about it? We should turn to the left. When the Lord says, "Turn to the right," we should turn to the right. And because we believe in God, following God's Word exactly. Not necessarily the words of every single man that we listen to, but if we listen to the words of men, they need to be the words from God's Word, from right out of His Bible. But many things recorded are to be considered. Now, we don't have enough time to consider all these, even maybe in a lifetime. This book is alive with the conscience of God, and His application to our life is unlimited. No matter how much we study it, it's amazing how many times I'll read over something and that scripture seems to apply to my life in one certain fashion, but the very next time I come to the same passage, there's a different application. It's telling me something a little bit different. I see a new facet. A facet is something that shines, it reflects light. And God's Word reflects light in our life toward us. It's like those big diamonds that all of you have on your fingers. No matter how we look at it, we see a different reflection each time we turn it. It's according to where the light is. It's according to how we turn the facet of that diamond. Well, God's Word is a diamond, and we can consider every single facet of it. To consider in the way of comparison. And we can consider everything that we learn in God's Word. We can compare. And we've been told to that God's Word is the best commentary on its own self. It's amazing how many times I've got some good books in my library. I can open up some of those books by fine men, and they'll give you a comment about a particular passage. But lo and behold, I can open up another commentary on the same passage, men that are reliable, and they'll have a different opinion about, or different thought there about that particular passage. But God's Word is the best commentary from the very beginning, from that Genesis 1 all the way through to the book of Revelation chapter 22, verse whatever. And we can learn from those comparisons as we study them. But some are of greater importance and should be considered as priority. We have some important things in God's Bible and that we follow after and that we look after, because every day in our life we're confronted by men with wrong ideas about what the doctrine of God's Word is. So they're more important. To me, the important things are like the sovereignty of God and the holiness of God. His almightiness, who He is very important to me. And how exact His Word is all the way through it. It does not change. People say, well, God repented of this, or God changed His mind about that. No such thing. The problem is our finite mind that's up here in this head and sitting on my shoulders, it's always conforming or misshaping something. But the truth of the matter is that God's Word does not change, does not defer, does not alter in any fashion from the beginning to the end. The problem is within the heart and mind of man. This particular verse here, it tells us to consider our latter end. Now, we have four or five verses here, and we begin with this one because it was in the beginning of the Bible. It so happens that these verses are in, I don't know whether we would say a chronological order, because some disagree that the Bible is in chronological order. But to me, it's quite sufficient in giving us this idea. But it's talking about considering our latter end here in this. And that's what we should do. We should consider our latter end. The wise man will consider it, Dorothy. The wise man. We're not very wise if we don't consider our relationship with the Lord. We're not very wise if we just go to church for some kind of, maybe it's to have lunch. There were men that followed Christ around, and all they sought after was a meal. How many fishes and how many loaves of bread that they could consume, because they probably didn't have much to eat. They just wanted to partake of something that maybe it didn't cost them anything at that time. But our purpose of going to church should be more than just going down to the church house and having a dinner on the grounds. It should be a time of fellowship where we can partake of God's Word and make it part of our life. The wise man would consider his latter end, his final destination. He is the grass of the land. He lives a few days and he withers away. That's what God's Word tells us in another place. We're like flesh is like these pine trees out here that the pine bark beetle comes around and settles in. Next thing you know, the whole tree is gone. All the bark falls off of it. We saw a tree on the way over here this morning that was dead. It had brown needles on it all the way from the top of it to the ground. I said, what caused that? Was it lightning or was it the pine bark beetle? Well, we don't know, but it was some kind of disease. And that's the way man is. He has a disease. If he lets his flesh reign over him, he has a terrible disease. Okay? Now, before I go any further, and I do want to let everybody know that make sure you understand, no matter what I say, I do believe in a sovereign God. I do believe in Ephesians 1 and 4, where it says, the Lord knew us before the foundations of the world. I don't have any, but I also believe that we have a responsibility before God, being His. We're to live a holy life. That's a responsibility. Okay? So, if anyone happens to think differently, well, that's going to be your problem. I hope it's not mine. I hope that I don't live in that particular fashion. The man of the world today is concerned about his education. He's concerned about his job. And I'm not being negative about that. There are times when we need to be concerned about these things. Some young people, many times all they're concerned about is going out and getting this 5 years of education. Sometimes they're concerned about saving their savings account. Every week they want to take out $100 out of the paycheck. Bless them that can. But they want to take this $100 out of their savings account and put it into the savings account, take it out of their check, put it in there. And that it might be set aside for what they call some rainy day. Well, or whatever they might want. Maybe a new car. Over in my neighborhood, well, I have three lanes in my driveway. Well, I could park three cars across there if I bought three cars. I have had three cars in there that belong to me. Now I only have two. One was such a junk, I gave it to my son. Everybody wants to have two or three cars. The husband's got to have one, the wife's got to have one, and if they have any teenage kids, well, the teenage kids have got to have one so that they can get back and forth to high school or to college or whatever they might be going to, or some job or something. And so these are the things that's on men's mind, the people of the world today. But God's people should consider their latter ends. There are things that are more important than these things today. But here we see the wise man with a spiritual discernment. And we're counting this man as having a spiritual discernment because he's considered about some important things. And it's important for us to think about this latter day, our latter end. He's going to be concerned about his latter days, yea, and the very end. The day when he faces his God and judge. A few weeks ago, I had a message about that day. That day when everyone, no matter what our view is, but in some fashion, sooner or later, we're going to all come before the judge, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we must stand there, and we will receive a final judgment from him about our life. That's the day when he faces God and judge, and to lay forth his righteousness before the God of all creation. And some will be informed that the Lord never knew them. What a day that will be. And some will receive, they will all receive their just reward. And our just reward, those that belong to the Lord, is the very fact that we belong to the Lord. That's the only reward that we have, and the only statement of who we might be. Our life should be focused upon Christ and not upon ourselves. And so many people that I come in contact with every day, their sole thought is about the world that they live in. And that's the priority in their life. The priority in our life should be Jesus Christ. From the time we get up in the morning to the time we go to bed at night, that should be the priority thought upon our mind. Today, the young people are concerned about their money matters. But the time is nigh, and soon our Lord will return. As the Lord returns, are your lamps going to be full and trimmed? As I speak those words, I'm condemned my own self. I'm judged. I want to search out my own self. I know places that I go, and I'm short of living the life that I should live. Our second point is, have you considered your latter end? Well, that's our first point. Have you considered your latter end? And will you spend eternity with him or in a devil's hell? It goes right along with that message that we had a few weeks ago. Or the lake of fire. Now, our second point is going to be found in 1 Samuel 12 and 24. 2 Samuel, only one verse. I'm sorry, 1 Samuel. That too is my Roman numeral. Sorry about that. 1 Samuel 12 and 24. Only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all of your heart. Well, that fits right in with the Ten Commandments. Serve him in truth with all of your heart. In our text, these words, for consider what great things he has done for you. Our first point was that we're to consider our latter end. But along the way, we can consider what great things he has done for us. Amen. Even in this vile life that we live, even though we live this self-centered life, of going astray. Our life should be centered around Him. But along the way, no matter what life, we have benefits. We breathe the air of God. He's just, and He blesses us and benefits us even in the very life that we live. What great things He has done for you. Consider what great things He's done for you. What great things has He done for us? He gives us health, some more than others. The blessings of God's providence are marvelous. He provides His watch care every day over us. So many times we could stumble and fall. So many times we could have an accident when we pull out in front of some car. And people every day, we can listen to them on the TV or on the news reports, and a collision's taking place somewhere where somebody has driven out in front of somebody else. And certainly they didn't plan for such a thing as that to happen. But by the providence and the care and the love of God for His people, He sheds benefits to us. And we continue to live in this life. He makes provisions of food along the way. He provides watch care over us everywhere that we might go. He has many wonderful works. Let's give Him the glory. Let's not steal all the glory of God. For all of these benefits of life that comes to us, it's not right for us to say, well, look what I did. I saved so many thousands of dollars in the bank. Look, I have three cars in my driveway. Look, I have a boat sitting in the driveway. Look, I have this nice home that I provided for myself. If it was not for the grace of God and His benefits toward us, we would have nothing. Though Christ, God, gave us a scapegoat to bear our sins away under the blood, have you considered what the Lord has done for you through His providence? Providential care. He comes to us and reveals Himself to us, and He shares Himself with us, and He gives life, eternal life unto us. Our third point. Have you considered the wonderful works of God? Or maybe you are too busy heaping up for your own self. Have you considered the wonderful works of God? Now, some of these points might seemingly overlap with each other, but I'm going to read a portion of Scripture here briefly from the book of Job, chapter 37. Job, when God got through with him, was amazed at the works of God. God proving Himself that Job wasn't as much as he thought he was. Job did not reign with the capabilities that he really thought that he had. God proved Himself to Job. Listen to these words as we read them. 37 and verse 14. I'm not going to read all of them. So hearken to this, or listen to this, O Job. Stand still and consider the wondrous works of God. The Lord God speaking to Job. Verse 15. Do you know when God disposed them or dispatched them and causes the light of His cloud to shine? Did we cause the light? We need more light in here, don't we, brother? Thank you. I saw him looking up. It's a little dark in here. When it gets dark outside. But it's God that shines through the clouds. It's God's light that shines to us even when the clouds are not there. And He reveals this wonderful light to us. And we can go about outside and we can see plenty. And sometimes it gets a little dark inside. We have to have artificial light. But the Lord He provides light for us. And He causes His light, the light of His cloud, to shine. Can man cause those clouds to reflect the light? Where was it? I believe Brother Jordan weren't. We were somewhere, and we looked in the clouds, and we saw one of the clouds. We could see it reflecting the light at night. It was after sunset. The sun was gone, but we could see this reflection coming down from the clouds. Can man do that? Can you do that? No. No, Job, you can't do that. Verse 17. Why are your garments hot when He quiets the earth by the soul wind? This morning when I got up, I prefer to wear short sleeves. But what do you do when you get up and all the shirts in the closet that are ironed and you're running late and they're all long sleeve and there's no short sleeve there? You put on a long sleeve. And I did that for my wife. She can iron them next week. Maybe next week I'll have a short sleeve. But I feel cooler with a short sleeve. Yesterday or the day before, I walked outside. And when I looked outside, it was blazing hot. It was like 2 o'clock in the afternoon. It was blazing down. And I had to go outside anyway. So I went. And as I went out there, we have a shade tree in the front yard, and I walked under the shade tree, and I was just standing there, and my wife came out there. She said, "What are you doing?" And I was standing there enjoying the coolness of the shade, and I could feel a breeze blowing, and I was wondering, why did it feel cool? But it's the Lord that sends these cool breaths of air. Okay? We can't control that. Now, inside, when we have air conditioning, we can go over the wall and adjust the thermostat. Sometimes it works. Sometimes it doesn't work. But outside, it's the Lord's hand involved in it. And He can cause it to cool us off in the shade with the breeze blowing. And that's the reason right now my air conditioner's out in the truck. That's the reason I like to ride with the windows down, because it's cooler. But here it says, why are your garments hot? When He quiets the earth by the south wind. When the Lord sends that south wind, the temperature is going to rise. When the north wind comes in, we might have a cool breath of air. But the occasion is not ours. We cannot control it. Verse 18, With him, have you spread out the skies, strong as a cast metal mirror. So the clouds come as He desires for them to come, and it's a clear sky as He desires for them to be clear. Teach us what we should say to Him, for we can prepare nothing because of the darkness. You cannot create the light. You cannot create the darkness. You cannot stop the darkness. You cannot start the light. You cannot stop it, except walk under the shade tree. But it's God that controls these matters. Should He be told that I wish to speak? Should He be told that I wish to speak? If a man were to speak, surely he would be swallowed up. Do we counsel God? Do we go about telling God how to operate and run His universe? No, we don't. We need to consider what God does. Consider His wonderful works, and they are wonderful. Verse 21. Even now, men cannot look at the light when it is bright in the skies, when the wind has passed and cleared them. He comes from the north as golden splendor. With God, His awesome majesty. Whatever God does, it's awesome. Yeah. It's His creation. The day is His. The night is His. Our life is His. We must depend on our Lord. and we depend on those wonderful works. All praises are unto Him, no matter whether it's light or whether it's dark. The goodness, even if there's a tornado coming, it's His mighty work. It's not the hands of Satan. David knew what it was like to consider the works of God. In Psalms 8 and 3, we see a couple of verses here that come by the mouth and from David. When I considered thy heavens, he's talking about the works of God. David says, when I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man? What is man? David realized how finite he was. We indeed are finite beings. What is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? The majesty of God rivals. It shows forth who He is. All the glory is to go to Him. How glorious are His works and His creation. David wondered, why did God even consider man? Have we ever stopped to consider who we are? Why did God ever consider me? Have you ever thought about why did He reveal Himself to us, to me? And I know that there are people lost and dying and going to hell every single day. Why did He consider me? That's because He's God. That's because He intends to be glorified by revealing Himself to me. Now, I hate to tell you this, and I don't want to insult or hurt anybody's feelings, but if He took every one of us and He cast us into the lake of fire, it would honor and glorify Him. Those are hard words. It would glorify God as to who He is, and He will be glorified. Whether he, some are saved and go to heaven to be with Him in glory, or whether the angels come down and pluck us up from the day of judgment and cast us into the lake of fire, He will be glorified. Even if it's every one of us. I don't like to think about that. But He's God. And that's exactly where we deserve to go. But we need to consider the wonderful works of God. In Haggai 1 and 5, now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Now, our text word is the word consider. And that's what we're looking at. God speaking to man, speaking to us. And man should consider his ways. I believe that the elect of God should consider his ways. I believe that the lost man, the one that does not know God, doesn't intend to follow after the Lord God, he should consider his ways. As we consider man's ways, we find he is a sinner. A sinner. A sinner to the core. Self-centered. Unloving, selfish, Oh, there's a passage of Scripture we can read. It tells us more about that. How about Romans 3 and 9 following? Let's read that briefly. I'm glad I can't read that clock. Romans 3, verse 10. As is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. This is that sinner that we were talking about. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They're all gone out of the way. They are together, become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. Their throat is an open sepulchre, or grave. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asp is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. And that's what man is like, the fleshly man without Christ. And we should consider our ways. That's all we are. Nothing but a sinner in this body, in this flesh. And God's word continues, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Found in the same book, same chapter. They have all become unprofitable. And then we come daily in contact with man that thinks he can save himself. That's what man thinks. He said, I'm all right. I can live the life that I want to live. I can go out here and live like hell. I can live for my own job. I can live for my own family. I can live for my own fleshly benefits that I might receive. Forgetting all about God. And then he says, when somebody tells him, and I remember this happening to me one time, a man told me that he didn't sin, that he was just fine before God. Have you ever considered your ways? How ungodly, how wicked, how vile, how lost. What is our relationship with the Lord? Have we considered our ways? What should we do? Can we have any hope? I'm thankful that I can have hope. Is there any provision for you in the breaking of God's holy law? Consider this then. Even though we're counting the word consider as our text, maybe this last verse here should be our text. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 3. Something else for us to consider. Consider him. That endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest he be wearied and faint in your minds. So we're to consider someone. Consider the Lord Jesus Christ. God's Word teaches us that. No matter how sovereign we are, no matter how sure we're positive and clean and perfect before God the Father, we know that we were saved before the foundation of the world, but we're still to consider Him. And if we do not consider Him through our lives, if we do not search Him out diligently through our lives, we're not the elect of God. On Calvary, Christ was a heretic. Oh my goodness, Brother Sanford. That's a terrible thing to say about Christ. But that's what the people were saying. That's the reason they put him on the cross. They considered him a heretic. They considered him to blaspheme the name of God. They did not believe him. They tried to stone him. They were against him. He interfered with their plans of life. No matter what they were going to do, he had something to say about it, and they didn't like it. Consider him for a comparison will show you how much more he has suffered for us.
Yeah.
One of my favorite scriptures is Acts 4:12. And I like to, and I've done this before, and I made a little bit a small change. I made it more personal as far as I'm concerned to me. But the scripture reads, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men." That's God's word. We don't have to assume this. And he says, "Whereby we must be saved." And I like to think on it as, "Whereby I must be saved." And I move on because of my time. Hebrews 11:6. "But without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." That comes right out of this Bible. I like Barney's words. I read that in the Bible. It's not a thing of salvation and when we think we might be saved and belong to Him, sitting down and coasting through the rest of our life, living like whatever we want to. "It is impossible to please Him, for he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." That includes me. It includes you. All of the elect of God. Seeking Him is not a work. Yet it is a work. Okay? No, it's according to how you look at it. Seek all of your life. Make your calling and election sure. That's what the scripture says. So we must consider Him who is the author and finisher of all things. We still must consider Him. We have a responsibility. By being here today, you are considering Him. I'm saying that to add to my definition. You must consider Him. Have you ever considered your latter days? Have you ever considered what great things He has done for you? Have you ever considered His wondrous works? Have you ever considered His creation? I love to look into the stars at night, Brother Jordan. Out here. Now, I can't see anything in town where I live. I look up and all I see are a few clouds and a few airplanes flying over and smoke, whatever. Have you ever considered your ways? How about when no one is looking? That's when we all fall short. I didn't mean to say it that way. Linda, I didn't mean to say it that way. I'm just as good a guy when I go outside the door as when I'm at home. I know a guy that was flying all over the country, a professing Christian, and he couldn't wait till he got on the airplane and flew off to California, Chicago, or Iowa, or wherever he was going. He was always on the airplane. And I really believe that in a lot of those places he had him another girlfriend. But God knows every step that we take, every intent of our heart, every thought that goes through our mind when we step outside of the front door of our church house where we gather together and meet together. He knows our mind and heart. We don't have to hide it from Him. He's going to know. We might hide it from our loved ones. Have you ever considered, my God manifested in the flesh? The Lord Jesus Christ is my God. He's my Lord. He's my Savior. Have you ever considered Christ? Have you ever considered Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Have you ever considered Him? We need to remember that verse in Hebrews 11 and 6. Today is the day of salvation. God's Word tells us that. Tomorrow may be too late. Commit your life to searching Him out. Like I told you, I believe in a sovereign God. And God's Word teaches us these things. Jesus Christ is the final answer, the only answer to cure for all doubt. He's the cure for all doubt. We must diligently seek Him. We must proceed after Him. I now live in this world, and my feet walk through it every day. They become dirty sometimes. But every morning when I get up, I think on Him first. Now, I fall short through the day. And when I go to bed at night, I say, "Thank you, Lord. Have I pleased you in the way I live this day?" And Linda can verify that because quite often I say it out loud. But we need to consider Christ in our life. He is all that we have that matters. May the Lord bless the reading and the study of His Word. Brother Jordan.